Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Visit WholeFoodsMarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more and find the store nearest to you.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show tracing the stories behind your favorite Asian dishes. I'm your host, Linda Liu. We are broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, we dig deep on a dish or an aspect of Asian cuisine, and we interview experts on the topic. Today, we're talking about a Chinese cuisine we've never covered before on Feast Meets West, and that's Yunnan cuisine. Specifically, we'll be talking about one of the most popular dishes out of the province, Yunnan Mi Xian, which are rice noodles. If you're unfamiliar with Yunnan, it's the far southwest region of the country that's incredibly picturesque and mountainous. The capital of the province is Kunming. The province borders the Chinese provinces Guangxi, Guizhou, Sichuan, as well as Tibet, Vietnam, Laos, and Myanmar. It's the Chinese province with the largest number of ethnic minority groups, so you can imagine how all that brings diverse influences to its cuisine. And because of its lush location, it's one of the most ingredient-driven of Chinese cuisines. There are delicate jasmine flowers, prosciutto like ham, pu'er tea, edible ferns and flowers, all manners of wild mushrooms. And it's one of the only Chinese cuisines to feature cheese, too. Yunnan's best-known dish is the crossing the bridge noodles, guoqiao mi xian. It's typically consisting of a bowl of boiling chicken soup to which diners add a selection of thin meat slices, the rice noodles, of course, which are long and slippery and almost clear, vegetables and spices, almost like a mini personalized hot pot. This is the signature dish at the new noodle shop, south of the clouds in Greenwich Village. Joining us in the studio is chef and owner Li Heng Geng.
Hi, everyone. And my name is Li Heng Geng, and I own the South of the Cloud. And today I would like to introduce my dishes.
Yeah, that's great. So chef and owner Li Heng was born in Yunnan, and he settled in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, with his father as a teenager. So his father actually opened Yunnan Flavor Garden, which remains one of the city's most well-known Yunnan restaurants. Li Heng's restaurant draws inspirations from his father's kitchen and tries to stay true to the traditional dishes and flavors one would find in Yunnan. So let's start by talking about why is this dish called crossing the bridge noodles?
Okay. The cross bridge noodles, there is a story behind it. There is a scholar who studied very hard for his imperial exam on the small island of Yunnan, and his wife bought him soup every day, but at the time she crossed the bridge, it was cold. Then she started spooning a layer of oil on the top that would act as insulation and keep the broth warm, and carrying the other ingredients separately so that it couldn't get soggy.
Okay.
And the husband ate this every day, and eventually he succeeded in passing the imperial exam. So
wow, so it's like a studious dish.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so how do you make it at South of the Clouds?
Okay, now in my restaurant, I skip the audio as an installation, but
yeah, no one's crossing the bridge here.
Yeah. So, but the rest of the tradition remains. The soup still slow simmered for 4 to 6 hours. And the ingredients are brought to the customer on the side, which include all quail eggs, paper thin sliced beef, fish fillet, chicken breast, and tofu skin, and pickled vegetable, gingers, no, scallion, cilantro, something else like that. Pretty much is how do we... Mm-hmm.
So it's like really colorful. I love the display of it. So do you have the diners assemble it themselves, or do you have staff coming in and like putting it all together? How do you usually eat it?
Oh, okay. We will let our waitress to bring the order. Ingredients to cook in front of the customers.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's part of the performance.
Yeah, it is part of the performance that the customer enjoyed the process and how we're eating this cross bridge noodle in Yunnan. Yeah.
So in Yunnan, do you assemble your own dish typically, or is it also like the waitresses come and do it for you?
Actually, in Yunnan, every Yunnanese people knows how the legends and now the process. So the waitress just bring to the dishes and the customer doing by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But in the U.S., but people doesn't know that process. Yeah, doesn't know the step very clearly. So mm-hmm. we just had our servers serve the customer to let them enjoy the...
Cool. And do the ingredients ever change?
Oh, yes. We change our ingredient
based on seasons?
Yeah, based on seasons and availability, because in Yunnan, each restaurant have the their different ingredient. Depends how you like to make it and make the combo as you feeling the greatest one.
Mm-hmm.
So to serve the customers, so you can.
So what's something that you have, like, now that is seasonal that you might not have, like, in the next 3 months? Or what's coming up this summer that will be something to look out?
Yeah, I think we start to preparing the mushrooms from the Yunnan. It's called the... There's many... Niuganjun, something else like that, the special mushroom. But I got to see how to bring it from the Yunnan and to see how it's work. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're actually sourcing a lot of those ingredients from Yunnan.
Yeah, some of those, but I was trying to looking for right here because I heard people told me I can find a Niudujun.
Mm-hmm.
That is a kind of special mushroom, right,
mm-hmm.
in U.S. So I think I can use that to make some different mushroom soup or, yeah, different flavor to let the customer to try it.
Interesting. And have you adapted this dish for New York tastes? So it sounds like you don't put the oil in, so it's like a bit more lean.
Yeah, because... since while working in my dad's restaurant and he trying to keep the very traditional way to serve people, and I was look at some American customer come over in my dad's restaurant, and I feel them is more like oil-less and salt-less, so it's keep them more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I decided to change to put less oil and salty inside. And if you like, you can add by yourself, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what qualities make up a good Yunnan mi xian?
Okay, the...
What are the things to look out for?
Okay, the Yunnan, the mi xian is kind of different with the ramen, because rice noodle mi xian is made by the rice, and there is similar as the pho, they're also made by rice, but the difference is the texture is kind of, how to say that?
Do you want the texture to be like chewy or like crispy, or is it like, what are you looking for?
Chewy and kind of smoothy because of the fermentation for the rice noodle. It's
Wait, so there's fermentation in making these noodles?
Yes, there is a couple ways to make it. People like a little sour, then we have that process to fermentation, to let the rice noodle become sour. But those noodles only Yunnanese people like it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the other province people just like the noodles, so they don't like the fermentation, so we also serve them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, cool. And what are the other popular ways to eat rice noodles in Yunnan? So it's not like always in the broth, right?
Yeah, there is a several ways to eat it. You can dry it up to make the tofu pudding rice noodles. And also you can use dried up with the cold water to cold up to become the cold noodles. So, and you can stir fry it.
Oh, cool. And so do you have all those different variations at your restaurant?
Right now, we only had the tofu pudding noodles and the cold noodles. We don't serve the stir-fried noodles because of our kitchen is not big enough to serve all the dishes. You know?
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so why do you think this is Yunnan's most popular dish? Why do people love it so much?
I think because of the the story behind the crossbridge noodles, and
it's like eat it and pass your exams. Like who doesn't want that?
Yeah, and you will like since we were young, we heard this story many times.
Okay.
So I think other province peoples in China, the first idea come in their mind that is crossbridge noodles. Mm-hmm. Then since they went to the Yunnan, they're traveling to the Yunnan, they got a new, more different other stuff like the mushrooms or...
like the flour.
Yeah, flowers.
And the cheese.
Yeah, the goat cheese, yes.
Cool. So we're going to take a really quick break and we'll be right back with more Feast Meets West.
Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. From papayas and samosas to reishi mushrooms, if it's something that sounds delicious, chances are you'll find the freshest, best version of it at Whole Foods Market. They have more than 400 stores across the country, so if you consider pizza its own food group or just can't imagine when avocado toast wasn't a thing, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com to find a store near you. Whole Foods Market. Whatever makes you whole.
Hey, thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. This is Katie, HRN Executive Director, and I'm so excited to share with you our coverage from the Charleston Wine and Food Festival.
We are here live today at Charleston Wine and Food.
Join us as we talk all things food.
Come to Charleston, eat some seafood. Eat all of the seafood.
Chicken fried chicken with chorizo steak and salsa verde mashed potatoes.
So quintessentially like Southern fare. At its finest.
And have important conversations.
We're also talking about professional women in restaurants and how underrepresented they are, people of color in restaurants, and how they're not talked about.
We get real with Food Network's Manit Chauhan.
Balance is BS. I was told that I wasn't going to be bleeped out.
And find out about raising sugarcane with Chef Sean Brock.
It's like being Indiana Jones or something. You never know what you're going to find.
You'll come away inspired by the power of food and the food scene in Charleston. Here's Dr. Jessica B. Harris.
Food is constantly in flux. Food is always moving. Food is the only real lingua franca that we have that allows us to connect with other folks.
So tune in to Heritage Radio Network on tour at heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't go wrong.
Welcome back. You're listening to Feast Meets West, and we're talking about Yunnan cuisine. So please tell us, Li Heng, what are the characteristics of Yunnan cuisine? Like, what is Yunnan known for? It's like the flavors and the ingredients. So we talked about mushrooms, we talked about mi xian.
Okay, I think the Yunnan there had a 26 minority ethnic group, so the flavor in Yunnan is changed a lot. Mm. But basically, based on the spicy, sour, and the sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So made it a lot different. Like, for example, in my store, we serve the ghost chicken that mm-hmm. is spicy and sour. We use the boiled chicken and fresh lemon juice and the fresh red pepper to mix it. And it's like dye tasting. I mean,
mm-hmm. So dye tasting, is that like the sour, spicy together, those kind of flavors? I guess it also has to do because, like, it's next to, like, Thailand and Vietnam, so that influence is probably pretty big, right?
Yeah, it is.
And then what are some, like, you know, what's the cheese like?
Oh, okay.
I'm like, what's Chinese cheese?
Chinese cheese, we call the Rushan in Yunnan, and we use the goat milk to make the cheese, okay. And we cooking it use several different ways. We stir fry it. We can.
Do you eat it like raw ever, or do you always cook it?
In my mind, I remember every time we eat, we cook it.
Typically.
Yeah. Typically. Yeah.
So it's like a softer cheese.
Because
it's like
it's hard, very hard.
Okay,
guys,
I think we just have to try it all.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what are some of your other popular dishes that you serve at your restaurant?
Yeah. Since when you come to my restaurant, after the crossbridge noodles, I will recommend the tofu pudding noodles mm-hmm. because I cook the rice noodle from the hot boiled water and then put it on the side and dried up and put a tofu pudding on it and I put some vegetable, for example, like a carrot and a pickled cabbage and cilantro and some vegetable on top, and I also put my homemade meat sauce. So it make when you eat it, you're feeling special feeling on your tongues. It's hard to explain. You gotta come over to try.
Okay, and I also noticed that you have desserts on the menu too. Can you talk about that?
Oh yes. I have the two dessert. Well, I will recommend the first is milky rice. The milky rice is the ingredient you it's only made by milky and the rice, but it takes at least an hour to cook it. And the reason why I bring this dishes is since we are young, I live in China. It's what we eat every, I mean, since we grew up, it's a lot of memory to us, mm-hmm. you know. So that is milky rice I want to bring. I let people to feeling how do I live in Yunnan. And mm-hmm. the other one is the roasted chicks. And that is, I used my roast source.
Mm-hmm.
the rose.
So they're like edible roses?
Yeah, edible roses. Mm. It's sweet. I use the rose petal to cook it with the sugars and to make it up and put on the chicks, the silver chicks. So that'll be good for the female. And it includes a lot of nutrition inside. So, yeah.
All right. Yeah, because I feel like in Chinese cuisine, like, desserts aren't so popular. But in Yunnan, are people, like, more kind of receptive to eating, like, you know, desserts? Or is it, like, kind of just eaten as, like, a snack?
Probably like a snack, because we have a lot of own dessert, but not the way eat as an American after
after the meal.
Yeah, we just eat in the afternoon.
Whenever you feel like dessert all day. And then what are the common cooking methods in Yunnan cuisine? Is it like fairly lighter or is it like a mixture of cooking styles?
I think it's a mixture cooking style because Mixian is just one of the Yunnan dishes, but we still have not too many thousand ways to cook it. So depends what you focus on. So I focus on the Mixian. So basically it's the broth and stir fry, something else like that.
Got it. And what else is Yunnan famous for? So it sounds like, you know, it's got diverse groups of people, you know, the mountains and the flowers. So it's like really beautiful, right?
Oh, yeah. In Yunnan, my hometown is, I was born in Kunming, and the city have the non-name is called the Spring City because of the weather and the location. There is a three mountain around the city and one face to the lakes. So it keep the temperature around 70 to 80 degrees. And so it's very warming. And so in that temperature, it's grow up a lot of flowers. So that's why. And Yunnan is a high sea level province.
Okay.
The average of the sea level is around 2,000 meters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Yunnan also had many good places you can visit. There is maybe Dali and Lijiang, Shangri-La or Xishuangbanna. You can, there is so many 26 ethnic groups living there. They have their own, how do I say, their own language, their own culture. Since you visit them, it's totally, you know, since I was born in Yunnan, when I travel over there, I cannot understand what they say.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And that's very interesting.
Yeah, that's a very special place to be then. And then do you feel like the way of life is relaxing or is it like a really busy city?
Oh, I think Yunnan is very lazy city, yes.
Slow-moving.
Yeah, slow-moving because of the... for example, there is no many Yunnanese people to come over to the U.S. because you living in the Yunnan is very comfortable, so people doesn't like go out to visit to another.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, and...
like, why leave the Spring City?
Mm-hmm. And... people living there have the slow, I mean, how to say that? It's very slow. And they had nothing to do. They just, after the work, they just have the tea in the afternoon. And in the nighttime, after dinner, they play mahjong with the people, you know. It's kind of slow life.
Wow.
Over there. Yeah.
What a different change from New York.
Yeah.
Okay, so what inspired you to then, you know, start your own restaurant here in the city?
I was trying. The first idea coming to my mind is since when I went to the college, I decided to become an entrepreneur and. So I think what I'm going to do is because my dad had a restaurant, I kind of know the market, so I decided to open my restaurant. The other reason I trying to open my restaurant because of the... Since I came to America, during that time, I cannot even spoke an English word, and I also cannot find some friend play with me. So I very miss my hometown. So at that time, I was thinking about if somebody can open a restaurant, they serve the Yunnanese dishes, I was so happy to go there every day. And that is a reason to support me to open a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Yunnanese culture let more U.S. people know. I think that is a great thing to do. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a lot of meaning to me. It's not just to earn money, but earn money is important. But mm-hmm. there is other different deep meaning.
Yeah, of course.
To support me, I think it's very encourage me to doing that every day.
Yeah, definitely not enough Yunnan like knowledge and cuisine here in the city yet. And where did you learn to cook? From your dad?
I was started to help my dad since I was 14 years old, and I work in his restaurant. And till when I was 18, I moved into Arizona. And since 2015, I came back to New York. I keep learning from my dad. Then I got to learn some new stuff. So I back to the Hong Kong for 1 month and learning from another Yunnanese restaurant in Hong Kong. And also I back to Kunming and at that time I was in Kunming, I at least went to the maybe over 100 restaurants to taste it and okay. find one or two and learn from them.
Oh, that's so nice. And do you feel like Yunnan, because you mentioned Hong Kong, do you think Yunnan food is popular in other parts of China and Asia?
Yes, right now in Chinese cuisines, I think it's very popular in whole China.
Okay.
Including the Hong Kong and the Taiwanese. You can find in every city. I mean, it's called the Guochao Mixian, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly from there. But I think it is a good business to doing that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, tell us about your dad's restaurant, Yunnan Flavor Garden, and what are you doing differently?
Okay, I think my dad's restaurant is because the mindset is kind of different. In my dad's generation, they are more focused on the focusing on the tasting mm-hmm. and the material and the price. They wanted the good tasting and the cheaper price to
value.
Value to let more customer mm-hmm. coming over. I think because of the generation and the difference between me and my dad's restaurant, I think I will more focus on the tasting is the first, and the second thing is the service, mm-hmm. my service, how do people like it, and also the decorate mm-hmm. environment.
Yeah.
Does the people have the comfortable place to enjoy the meal, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that is the different target different to the customer, and also
location wise it's definitely like a place where there's gonna be like more foot traffic in Manhattan in the village, right? So it's like right by NYU and Sunset Park is a bit further.
the Sunset Park that I think there is a Chinatown over there, so mm-hmm. the most customer are the Chinese people.
Mm-hmm.
And in the West Village,
yeah.
I think it's more Eastern people and NYU students. It's like
it's a good mixture.
Yeah, it's good mixture, and then people know getting know it
cool.
better.
Yeah. So, what's the reception been so far? Like, do people like it? Like, do you have people coming in and being like, what is this?
Yes. I think I have right now have a lot of neighbors like our food since they never heard that before. And this, after they tasted, they're feeling, oh, it was pretty good. I never thought
Chinese food could be like this.
Yeah. And also, I think it can present to China as a noodle, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So what are your goals for your restaurant? What would you like to see happen?
My goal trying to let my restaurant become the franchisor. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And similar as McDonald's, you know, you open everywhere, and since people mention McDonald's, you will know it's meaning American, you know. So I would wish my restaurant could do in the exactly same way as they do, and people can know better in Chinese culture, know better of the Yunnanese culture, and when they eat our meal, they can get a little interesting about Yunnan, and if they got a chance, can visit there, traveling over there. I think it's a great thing to do.
That's awesome. What a great mission. Well, that pretty much wraps up our show for today. Thank you so much, Li Heng, for sharing your culture and also your insights.
Thank you so much.
What is the best way for our listeners to stay up to date on news from South of the Clouds? Like, do you have an Instagram we should follow?
Oh, okay. Yes. You can... We do have the Instagram. It's called the South of the Cloud, and when you search, it will pop out. And we also have the Facebook. We also use the same name, and you can Google us. And
It's funny also because like South of the Clouds is a direct translation from Yunnan, right?
Yeah. We spend a lot of time to decide the name, you know, because it sounds doesn't like a restaurant, but I think it's more exactly meaning of the Yunnan. So I decided to use that name.
Yeah, it's pretty mystical. And for you listeners out there, thank you for listening. Did you enjoy this episode? If yes, please tell your friends. And if you haven't already, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back next week with another awesome conversation from the world of Asian food.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.